Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're discussing fun. How to have it, what happens when you miss out on it, and whether it's just novelty that makes your heart sing. Let's get into it. Good afternoon, Steven.
Good afternoon, Laura.
How is this Thursday treating you?
This Thursday is thine. It's thine?
It's fine.
It's fine. No, it's thine because it's Thursday. Yeah. No, it's actually doing pretty well. It's been a long, long week, I tell you what. Lots of planning, lots of work stuff. Mm-hmm. I know I probably seem a little bit, but I'm feeling like I'm able to rest soon. So that's nice. That's where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you're on the home stretch.
I am. How about yourself? What's going on?
I'm pretty okay. I've been trying to like recoup some rest this week.
Oh, good.
But which I have been doing on the physical front, but on like the emotional, intellectual front, I've been consuming such intense media the last 4 days, and it is starting to genuinely take effect on my mental health.
Oh no.
I know, right? No bueno. And so now I'm all sensitive because the combined forces of reading this horror book, Fantasticland by Mike Bakhoven, which is about a battle royale, Lord of the Flies situation.
Ooh, fun.
In a hurricane in Florida at an amusement park.
Whoa.
Right? And then watching episodes 1 through 4 of Quiet on Set, which is about, predatory malfeasance in child TV. And then the book version of Zone of Interest by Martin Amis.
Dude, what?
I know. What am I doing to myself?
The book about Auschwitz? Okay. So, yeah. Laura, here's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
You're doing a lot of really good work on the intense learnings. These are all things that are like Oscar-worthy content, right? What you need is a little bit of cozy. You need a little bit of relaxation, a little bit of... You need to engage your parasympathetic nervous system a bit more, I think.
Yeah, I might be rocking and rolling too hard.
I think you might be rocking and rolling just a little too hard. Just my two cents, you know?
No, I think that might be a really good insight. That might be a great insight.
As someone who frequently rock and rolls way too hard, I can say that sounds like me when I'm in a place where I say I don't need fun, I'm good, I will just continue to work harder. That's when I know I need fun the most. It sounds like you're in that place or approaching that place. And like, it's fine. You know, we can do some cozy stuff. We could talk about cozy stuff today if we wanted to.
You know, I do need fun.
Yeah.
How can we facilitate fun?
Well, what is fun? What is fun
what
to you?
What is fun?
What is fun?
We just don't know.
I think fun is what makes your heart sing. You know, fun is something that, you know, your brain doesn't have to have any feelings about it, but your heart goes, okay, that's fun. Mm-hmm. If your heart doesn't do that, it's probably not fun. It's probably like, this is a thing that I have to do, or a neutral thing.
If your heart just like politely crosses its arm in a respectable manner, that's probably not fun.
Yeah, if your heart doesn't respond to it, it's probably not fun. The thing is, like you, I kind of like to live in my head a lot. Like, even though I'm naturally like bored, I am born in my heart. And I lived in my heart for many, many years. And that made me make some impulsive decisions, some of which I regretted, some of which I had no regrets whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But now I make less impulsive decisions. I live in my head a little bit more. And I have to admit, it's a little less fun than living in your heart.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I too lived in my heart. And it was a beautiful place. The joy, immense. The choices, questionable. Yeah. But here we are.
I think everyone, ourselves definitely included, could do a little more listening. This is going to sound super cheesy. There's already people unsubscribing as I speak. We should all listen to our hearts a little bit more. Because, look, we are a productivity engine. The U.S. is all about productivity, all about hustling, all about getting ahead. And that is all good and right and important. However, we need to all relax a bit more, I think. Myself included. Like,
yeah, we do run hot as a culture.
Yeah, yeah. So focusing on cozy, focusing on relaxing, focusing on fun, just listening to the feeling you get when you think about a thing. Like if I think about a cat, I think cozy. I think probably fun. They're probably going to want to play. They're going to want to hang out. They're going to do something silly. And that's fun to me. If I think about work, sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's not, you know?
Yeah, to be fair, work does occasionally throw some fun at you.
Oh, absolutely it does. Absolutely. You know, I have no complaints about it. But I think I got so used to doing the right thing that I forgot that so many times in the day, I can literally just choose the fun thing. And it's not the wrong choice. It is a fun choice. Like when we adopted this kitten, right? We adopted this guy on a whim. Like it was a busy day for us. Like for me, I had like a bunch of silly meetings that I had to do. And we took like a long lunch and adopted a kitten in the middle of the day. And we both said, wow, that's a 27-year-old decision if I ever saw one. But look at how much joy this little guy has brought into our life.
I love how this cat is just a third character now.
Oh, he is. His name is
in the podcast.
If you haven't heard before, folks, his name is Sophocles, and he's gray, and he's got a wonderful temperament, and he's not even a year old. So he's just a really nice, sweet little guy. Mm-hmm. I think we could do more of that. Not just you and I, but our culture. We could do a bit more listening to our heart and, don't hustle so hard.
Yeah. Anthropologists say that human beings are the most playful animal in the animal kingdom.
Then why aren't we playing more?
I mean, you can make the argument that everything in our society is play, in so much as it's not real. We pretend that it is.
Well, I mean, we watch a ton of entertainment. That's pretty fun.
That's true. Yeah. We do entertain ourselves, but sometimes the soul longs for like unscripted joy.
Yeah.
I think I might be in a little bit of a fun rut. Mm. How does one get out of a fun rut?
You got to break the cycle, break a chair,
break everything,
yeah.
Break everyone.
Break free from your constraints in society.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
in California, I just go to an amusement park. Because to me, that's like the embodiment of fun. Yeah, everything about it is designed for fun.
It's very fun.
So like your brain like breaks up a little bit in its whole like productivity, getting stuff done, logical brain orientation.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, oh, the power of whimsy. These rocks aren't real.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. What is close to an amusement park around here? I'm thinking we have actual parks. We've got like outdoor parks.
We do have actual parks.
We've got Dave & Buster's. We've got that sushi robot place that's really fun out in Bellevue. That's not quite amusement park, but it's fun.
And but they have like robots the food bringing is the sushi. Having fun. It's on a little ride.
Right?
If you can just identify with the sushi on the sushi conveyor belt, you too can experience a sort of ride.
Right? Well, here's the thing about fun. If you are doing what other people would consider fun, but it is all you are doing, after a while, you're going to get bored of that particular brand of fun. So I think the most important variable in what is fun
is variety.
Is variety. Yes. Mm. Yes, girl. Variety. So I think the biggest thing to consider is what haven't I done in a while?
A while.
Crocodile. And would it be interesting? Would my heart say something cool about that? Would my heart get excited about doing that thing? And if the answer is yes, then why not? It doesn't have to be like fly to Disneyland. You know, it could be like go seeing a movie or, I don't know, go in and seeing ducks.
It has been ages since I entered a movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah, girl, you love movies. Love movies. And I love them too. I think that's a good one. Like movies, you know? Variety. So to me, I think that's really what helps. When you're in a fun rut, I think seeking variety is really what's going to help you get out of it. But don't take my word for it. I'm clearly not a fun expert. I'm like,
no.
I might be silly on this podcast, but I am like the most baseline serious person that I have met. I'm just like, all right, wake up. What things need to get done today. That is my first thought. Not exactly fun, but it does keep the lights on. So here's the thing. Who in our society or in our personal connection groups are fun experts? Who knows a lot about fun?
Yeah. Who in your group of friends or acquaintances has a lot of fun?
Right?
I'm actually drawing a blank.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you know?
Well, I think I know people who are fun and funny. We'll call this one Helga to keep their person name anonymous.
Their personhood.
Their personhood anonymous. But yeah, I think Helga has a decent amount of fun. At least they seem to. They seem to. They're on Instagram. They're traveling. They're like, they're posting silly stuff. They seem to be prioritizing fun.
Is travel for work inherently fun?
Well, I think the thing is you can make anything fun if you enjoy it. And I remember,
see, then why is not anything you or I do fun? I think this is just like the hangover from having like a medical emergency with someone you love.
I mean, actually.
And you're just like, for like a little bit after, like a week or so after, you're just like panting a little bit from the stress of it, the strain of it, the fear.
Dude,
the
yes.
sense that something you love might have been harmed or lost.
Yeah.
So like a personal crisis, that's going to take a bigger chunk out of you than anything else. It is strange to me how important the well-being of people we love is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's more important than your well-being to yourself, which is a wild way for a brain to work.
Well, I think it's a super pro-social way for a brain to work. You know, like, a brain will naturally try to protect itself first, right? But if anyone else we know isn't in dire straits, but if we know that someone we really care about is in dire straits and needs our help, instantly our self-preservation kind of goes on the back burner. We're like, oh my gosh, you are missing a foot. We need to get you to a hospital immediately. I'm going to cancel my work, cancel my plans. We just got to take care of you. And like
the immediacy of your situation becomes immediate.
To be super cheesy about it, it's like your love center turns on and like your self-preservation center is like, I'm going to take a back seat on this one. And it's like, I love this person. I love this creature. And I'm just going to put all this energy into taking care of them. Okay. And so it throws you off your routine.
So you're reminding me of my favorite film ending in like 10 or 15 years.
Oh, which one?
Okay, so the 2010s film Truth or Dare.
Oh, yeah, the Blumhouse film.
Oh, yeah. The film itself is like, it's a competent horror movie, no question. But what's really exciting about it is its ending.
Yeah.
Basically, the conceit of the film is that a supernatural force forces you to play Truth or Dare unless you like transfer your dare onto someone else to like kill them. You know, it has a final destination equality to the Truth or Dare game. And it comes down to these two survivors who are best friends.
Yeah.
And basically one of them has to be sacrificed or else the whole world is going to end. And our lead straight up decides to let the world end rather than harm her best friend.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. It's love conquers the world.
Yeah.
To me, it's like such a beautiful and exciting ending. It's exactly the kind of ending that I love to see where instead of doing the good thing, you do like the sentimental human thing.
Oh, yeah. You don't often get to see that, and I love when you see it because I get so used to the standard movie or TV story where a protagonist will have to make a hard choice and they'll have to sacrifice someone they love to save the world, or they'll find a way to save everyone and nobody dies. But when they have a character that literally sacrifices the whole for the one that they just love so desperately, that to me is super interesting. Like, that happens in The Last of Us.
Dude, yeah.
Makes
no, but
it
like
so interesting.
It's more than that. It's a subversion of your expectation. Well, it's not even a subversion of your expectations. It's a subversion of trope. They say that the difference between a hero and a villain is that a hero will sacrifice everything they love for the world, and a villain will sacrifice the world for the thing they love. And villains be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely in The Last of Us, Joel is not a hero.
No, he's not.
But he makes such a beautifully tragic and understandable decision and such a sentimental decision.
I know. It's like you can't even be mad at him because you know why he did what he did. For those who have heard who played the game or watched the show that are parents, they say they totally understand why he did what he did. They're like, I would have done the same thing. I would have done exactly the same thing to protect someone who is either my child or someone who I consider my child, my ward. I would have done the same thing. And you're like, wow, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's relatable. Like that's the human thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like humanity is sort of, it's not inherently moral. We don't think of it as inherently moral, but it is like inherently sentimental. Mm-hmm. The human being feels stuff.
Yeah,
and it makes decisions off of the things that it feels. My impression is that a lot of our media is trying to train us to be better than human. They're trying to suggest to us that you could be a hero if you sacrifice all the things you love for the betterment of your society. And so it's a sort of like social engineering where it's like, we're going to give you stories that demonstrate how wonderful it is to be pro-social instead of following your heart.
Yes, you definitely want to do these things instead of following your heart. Don't listen to your heart. Your heart doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, because your heart is going to handle that stuff on its own. Your heart's going to be like whispering stuff to you like, hey, girl.
I love you. I'm your heart.
You could do something that is good or something that feels good.
Yes, or something that's just interesting.
Or something that's interesting.
Because I'm bored.
The role of entertainment in society fascinates me because I kind of think of it as education. Mm. Yeah, it's arguably the only form of adult education that is widely consumed. We put kids into school and we're like, you learn stuff. And then once you get out of school, it's kind of like, you're on your own.
Figure it out, kiddo.
Figure it out. The only thing we have for you is entertainment. And back in the day, like the pre-modern period, the church is making a lot of your entertainment. So it is necessarily morally instructive. And I feel like entertainment's still morally instructive a lot of times. And that people have a preference for morally instructive entertainment. They're like, I want my characters to be good, to do good, to set a good example. And Truth or Dare was just like, nah, girl. This is the power of platonic love.
We're going to have these characters love each other so much that they will blow up the world so that they can survive.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Yeah. And you know what?
That's villain stuff.
What that is an interesting, unique choice. And, you know, we talked about it in theater a lot. If you can, as a character, always opt to make the strong choice, the strongest choice you can, mm-hmm. that will be more interesting for film, for TV, for whatever you're doing. And that will pull the audience in because they didn't expect it. And all of a sudden, now you're blowing up the world or you're doing something completely subversive. And it's interesting. It's interesting to watch.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I love about indie movies. And we've covered a bunch of them on this podcast and we'll cover more.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not hemmed in by the mainstream expectation of good guys, bad guys, and a happy ending.
They're just people.
Yeah, they'll just do anything. They found enough money to film their movie and then they found a distributor and executives were probably not involved.
Yeah. Sometimes there's not even like a central like conflict in the plot. It's just you watch some people go through some things, some stuff happens to them, they have reactions to the thing that happens to them, and then the movie ends and you're like, that was really interesting. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I've got a lot to think about now.
You do. And
and that's fun.
That is really fun. Again, because it's a novelty.
I mean, novelty is delightful. I mean, variety is the spice of life.
I mean, think about it this way. If the opposite was true and we had all of our movies without a plot, structureless, and it was just people kind of going through their day, some things happen and they have some thoughts about it, and that's like every movie that's out there, don't you think we'd be a little bored with that premise too?
Oh, of course, of course. Like sometimes I'll watch European films. They're far less strict about the good guy, bad guy, happy ending formula. They have a different formula or a broader sense of acceptance. And if you watch enough French films, you're like, y'all need MGM. Y'all need someone to do a story edit, get this thing some structure, maybe right. like iron out the moral ambiguity.
Where's the MPAA? This film needs a rating.
Anyway, like, so you know what? We just want different things at different times.
Oh, totally.
And in this sort of like red light, green light patter.
So again, I think variety is fun. Fun is variety. That's really what it is. It's just your brain needs something new and interesting to tickle it because it's used to the same things.
And yeah, that dopamine button, it gets smushed.
And to be fair, the logical part of your brain says, good, this is a routine. This works. This makes sense. We should continue down this path because it is practical. It's effective. Let's keep going. But your brain still needs interesting and new things. And I think your brain isn't the one that will actively seek it. I think it's your heart that will pull interesting things that your brain will also appreciate into it. Because your heart gets bored and it's like, I want fun. I want to like do some weird stuff.
Your heart is so loud.
Yeah. Yeah. And your brain benefits from it. So I'm not saying you should be ruled by your heart, but I think we should
make interesting choices, make bad choices.
Well, I think we could at least be consulted by our hearts, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe led by them sometimes. Like who cares? It's fine.
Yeah. It's almost summer, guys.
Yeah. Life is long. How bad of a mistake could you make?
Yeah. You'll have years to like circumvent the consequences. Right. Well, Stephen, I would like to commission some fun.
Ooh, let's do it.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's commission some fun. Get it done. We'll iron it out. We'll let our hearts lead a little bit more. I dig it.
All right. Thank you for spending your lunch break with us.
All right, folks. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.